Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So tonight we will read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and we'll read from chapter 7, chapter 7, verse 25. Chapter 7 is entitled Knowledge of the Absolute. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita mudho yam nabijanati loko mam ajam avyayam. Translation: I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Let us recite this translation responsibly. You can repeat after me. I am never manifest.
I am to
the foolish and unintelligent.
For them I am covered
by my internal potency. And therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Purported by Srila Prabhupada. It may be argued that since Krishna was present on this earth and was visible to everyone, then why isn't he manifest to everyone now? But actually, he was not manifest to everyone. When Krishna was present, there were only a few people who could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the assembly of Kurus, when Shishupal spoke against Krishna's being elected president of the assembly, Bhishma supported Krishna and proclaimed him to be the supreme god. Similarly, the Pandavas and a few others knew that he was the supreme, but not everyone. He was not revealed to the non-devotees and the common man. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that but for his pure devotees, all men consider him to be like themselves. He was manifest only to his devotees as the reservoir of all pleasure. But to others, to unintelligent non-devotees, he was covered by his internal potency. In the prayers of Kunti, in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.19, it is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of yoga maya, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. This yoga maya curtain is also confirmed in the Ishapanishad mantra 15, in which the devotee prays, Haranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham tatvam pushan apavrinu satya dharmaya drishtaye, which means, O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore, I pray that you will also maintain me. Your transcendental form is covered by the yoga maya. The Brahma Jyoti is the covering of the internal potency.
May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Satchit Ananda Vigraha, your eternal form of bliss and knowledge." Unquote. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his transcendental form of bliss and knowledge, is covered by the internal potency of the Brahma Jyoti. And the less intelligent impersonalists cannot see the Supreme on this account. Also, in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.7, there is this prayer by Brahma: "O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Supersoul, O Master of all mystery, who can calculate your potency and pastimes in this world? You're always expanding your internal potency, and therefore no one can understand you. Learned scientists and learned scholars..." We don't have a... "Learned scientists and learned scholars can examine the atomic constitution of the material world, or even the planets, but still they're unable to calculate your energy and potency, although you are present before them." Unquote. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is not only unborn, but also avyaya, inexhaustible. His eternal form is bliss and knowledge, and his energies are all inexhaustible. "Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita mudho yam nabi janati lokomam ajam avyayam." Translation: I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Om Gyanatim Randasya Gyananjana Shulakaya Chakshur Milutum Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutane Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swahatam Anjagapata Rubyas Chakriva Sindhu Vyevacha Adidanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is quite a well-known verse in Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna is talking about different types of people who misunderstand him, who don't understand him, and somehow they come to some faulty conclusion about who he is, what is his position, and what he may do or not do, or be able to do or not be able to do. But Krishna, he is very special. He is not subject to being controlled by some ordinary people. Here he describes mudhas, foolish people who misunderstand him, who are envious of him, actually. And because they're envious, then they think that there couldn't be such a person. He couldn't have done all these things, displayed his universal form, expanded himself into so many forms, and married so many queens in Dwarka, or so many amazing things Krishna did. And they think, no, it's not possible. I can't do it. So how could he do it? In this way, they demonstrate the fundamental qualification or fundamental feature of the consciousness of the conditioned soul. That is, that the conditioned souls are envious of Krishna. They would like to compete with Krishna, and take Krishna's position like this. And instead of Krishna being the supreme enjoyer, they would like to be the supreme enjoyers. So this is there, at the root of the consciousness of every conditioned soul, an attitude of envy. Envy towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada told one story. Some of you may be familiar with this, I'm sure some of you are, about envy. Just illustrating what is envy. Srila Prabhupada told a story that one time two old school friends met after they hadn't seen each other for many years, maybe for 20 years. They hadn't seen each other since leaving school. Somehow they met. And there was very friendly spirit of remembering the old days and asking, how is such and such doing? When you meet people you haven't seen for a long time, it's like that. Catching up on all those people that you haven't seen. So one of them asked the other, and what about such and such? What a silly fool he was. And the other man said, well, no, actually, you might be surprised, but he is now a high court judge. Yes, he is very important and very respected and very responsible duties, very intelligent man. And the first person said, what? Him? I don't believe it. I remember him from those days. What a foolish person. He could never be a high court judge. It's not possible. And the other person said, no. It's definitely true. I was there. I saw him. And the first man said, well, maybe, but I'm sure they're not paying him. So it should have held that, told that story. Envy. Enviousness. So the root of all envy is that envy that we have, that attitude we have towards Krishna. And if we can uproot that, then we will find that all of our envy just dissolves. It just disappears. That is the root of all the envy which we may experience in different situations. When people do better than us, people are more popular than us, or like this, you know, all these different things which happen which arouse some feelings of envy towards others. So in Krishna consciousness, our principle, of course, is you just water the root of the tree. And if you water the root of the tree, then the benefit is felt in every part of the tree. All of the leaves and fruits and flowers and twigs and branches. Every little part of the tree will be nourished just by watering the root of the tree. And it is not that you have to go to every leaf or fruit or flower and put a little water there. And in this way you might think that you are addressing the needs of that particular thing in the best way, by directly offering some water. No, actually you really help all the parts of the tree when you, in the best way and in the only real and truly effective way, when you water the root of the tree. So similarly, we are prone to be envious. Have any of you ever experienced that? Did you? A little bit? He says he experienced it a little bit. Any of you ladies? No? Oh, you're doing pretty well. So we might have experienced a little envy sometimes. And naturally a devotee Because devotees are very special people. Devotees are very sensitive people, and they're very concerned about how they are and how they're conducting themselves, and they don't want to do the wrong things and be offensive. So therefore devotees are often concerned about being envious, and they want to not be envious and on the lookout like that. Whereas materialistic people, they may not be so concerned generally. But if we really want to get rid of our propensity to become envious, then we should give up our envy towards Krishna. What does that mean, our envy towards Krishna? We may not be sitting here thinking, oh, Krishna, I don't like how he's worshipped so much. Something like that. We may not be directly thinking in some sort of, you know, way about Krishna like that. But still, actually the manifest form, if you go right to the root, you'll find it, actually, that we may still be a little doubtful about Krishna like that. But the manifest form on a very practical level is that we are not really, maybe, sometimes, we may not really be so inclined to surrender to Krishna, but rather we would be more inclined to hold back, reserve a little for ourselves. As one devotee said one time, one for Krishna and one for me. And one for Krishna and one for me. And if the going gets difficult, then none for Krishna for the time being and two for me, but I'll get back to Krishna if things look up a bit more. So this is really on a very practical level, the manifest form of our envy, of everyone's envy. That everyone has some program for benefiting themselves. But of course in the case of the gross materialists, they have no inclination to benefit Krishna at all. But in the case of us as aspiring devotees, trying to become devotees and get free from all these things, then the manifest form is that sometimes then we're not really so inclined to surrender to Krishna, but we're more concerned about ourselves and looking after ourselves like this. Yeah, this is really the manifest form. Whereas on a more advanced level, then nothing is too much for Krishna. Nothing is too much for Krishna. The devotee will do anything, everything, for Krishna without any holding back or delay, without needing to be prompted. I think I'll just hold this. Otherwise we may have everyone maintain.
Oh,
well, okay. Just hold it a little closer. Just don't mind. Yes. So this is our problem, really, because we're all trying to become devotees. But we're all coming from material existence, and we're conditioned by material existence in many ways. But we're trying to move forward to come to that point of pure devotional service. But sometimes we don't really want to surrender so much, and we want to hold back for ourselves and look after ourselves, or even sometimes we may directly try to promote our own interest and sort of neglect Krishna's interest. But advancement in devotional service and becoming free from envy means that we become more and more genuinely concerned about pleasing Krishna, and less really concerned about pleasing ourselves and helping ourselves and like this. So anyway, here Lord Krishna is talking about how he relates with those people, the envious people, the foolish mudha, he uses that term, mudha means foolish person, unintelligent person. So how does Krishna relate with such a person, with such people? He says, yoga maya samavrita, I am covered by my yoga maya, internal potency, that deluding maya potency, illusory potency, which encourages us, encourages people to think or to conclude about things in ways which are not correct, and to perceive things in ways that are not correct. Yes, so Krishna says, for those mudhas, those foolish, unintelligent people, those non-devotees, those people who are envious, they're really envious of him, then he doesn't manifest himself. He doesn't manifest himself. But to the devotees he does, and at least in due course of time. So Krishna is very amazing and very special like this. Srila Prabhupada begins the purport by making a point which, interestingly enough, I'm just a little surprised and interested to see that Srila Prabhupada begins the purport by making a point which we were discussing on Friday at the beginning of the questions and answers session. I don't know how many of you were there then, but we were discussing how some people say that they wish that Krishna was here now. Why won't Krishna just walk in and just, as he did with Lord Brahma, he walked up to Brahma and shook his hand. Why won't Krishna just walk up to me and say, here I am, here I am, Sri Sri Nitai Gaura Hari Kita, Sri Sri Nitai Sachi Sutta Kita. I can just hold it. I think
it's my copy.
Yes, yeah, some people think that wouldn't it be nice if Krishna would just walk in here right now. Of course, for the devotees it would be nice. But it is not exactly as some people think, that if Krishna were to just walk in here now and just start performing his pastimes now, it is not that the whole world would suddenly become Krishna conscious. It is not like that. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna, when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, then many people didn't recognize him or understand that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada here mentions one of the chief of those people, Shishupal. Shishupal, who fanatically hated Krishna. Yes, he hated Krishna so much that he never forgot Krishna for one second in his entire life. So, he was very special, of course, but there were many people, and they didn't accept Krishna. In fact, Prabhupada says here, only a few really did, even though Krishna did many amazing things, but only a few people really accepted Krishna. So it is not necessary that Krishna appear here in order for the world to become Krishna conscious. But there is a need for people to actually change their consciousness. There is a need for that, for people to change their consciousness. And when people change their consciousness, then they may get the eyes to see Krishna. Krishna is present. Krishna is present on the altar. There's a nice story
I was actually going to tell. I sort of looked up a few stories to tell on Saturday night, but somehow got a bit carried away in another way. But there was one nice story that I read, and oh, that story, that pastime of Srila Prabhupada's, it took place when, back in perhaps 1972 or something like that, Srila Prabhupada installed the Radha Krishna deities in our temple in Paris, France. Radha Paris Ishwara. They're very beautiful deities. And they look French. They look French. Very kind of, you know, sophisticated and fashionable or something like that. Maybe. Yes. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada performed the installation ceremony, and then afterwards, at the end of it, he performed the first arati. And some devotees took some photos. And then, the next day, I think, they had the photos developed. And they were showing Srila Prabhupada. There's Prabhupada bathing the deities and doing all the different functions. He did everything. He did the fire sacrifice. He did the abhishek. Then he did the arati. Prabhupada looked through the pictures. And he was looking at the pictures of himself doing arati to Krishna, to Radha Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, his mood, when he got to those pictures, his mood was one of great joy. Transcendental joy and jollity and, you know, like deep satisfaction. He was smiling, beaming, looking at these photos. Then he saw one photo and his face just lit up like glee, excited. And Prabhupada, sort of the devotee, Shruti Kirti, who wrote the remembrance, he said that Prabhupada lit up, his face lit up, just like a little boy who's, you know, very excited about something wonderful. And Prabhupada said about the one photo where he's offering arati, he said, look, I am looking at Krishna and Krishna is looking at me. So Srila Prabhupada, very elevated, transcendental person, is having very intimate type of interaction with the deity. Yes. So, for such a devotee, then this yoga maya samavrita, this covering of the illusory potency, illusory energy of the Lord, this covering is not there. The pure devotee is seeing Krishna and interacting with Krishna, relating with Krishna personally, because that yoga maya, that illusory potency, that curtain, Queen Kunti refers in her prayers in the 8th chapter of the first canto. She says that you are just like an actor who's dressed up as a player. You're covered by the curtain of deluding energy. So for the great devotees like Srila Prabhupada, that curtain has been removed. And he is there with Krishna. Krishna is there with him. Yes. We are also with Krishna. Krishna is also here. But we are not seeing Krishna. I'm not seeing Krishna. I don't know about any of you. I suspect you're not seeing Krishna. I think we're sort of in the same boat, largely. So why is that? Because it means we're still covered by the yoga maya, samavrita. Not as much as those who are just grossly in maya, grossly envious not that much, but still it's there, still there. So we're not really seeing Krishna. Although sometimes, of course, for the aspiring devotees, Krishna reveals himself in different ways. But that is, you know, little sort of indirect, or not in that very direct sense of walking up to you face to face and saying, hello.